Thank you for tuning in to Investment Insight presented by McKay Wealth Advisory. My name is Hayden Proffitt, and joining us today, we have Brent McKay. Brent, starting out as an investor, there's certain things that you really have to look for and certain things that you really need to look into. I want to hit some of these and just kind of talk to you about them. What Sure. about the importance of a budget?
Yeah, so the most important thing to start with for any part of the plan is have a written budget. Write down what your priorities are, what your needs are. You know, if you're getting married or if you're not married, you're just getting started. A lot of times, the number one thing people fight about in a marriage is money. So write out what your priorities are, and that'll help you go forward.
Right. And then within that budget, what about an emergency fund?
Great question. So usually you want to have 3 to 6 months of what you need in emergency funds in case something happens. Obviously, that's dependent upon your unique situation. You know, if you have two people that work at the same place and you're both married, you might want to have a little more, because usually if the company gets in trouble, they're probably both going to lose the same job at the same time. So you need to look at your situation, but generally speaking, 3 to 6 months is what is recommended.
Right. And then with those companies, a lot of times there's a utilization of a thing called a 401k. Explain just how that sure. can help a new investor.
So obviously the 401k, the big benefits are your fees tend to be lower mm-hmm. because you have the benefit of everybody together in a plan. So that lowers your cost. The second thing is usually there's some matching money a lot of times. So you get some free money to get in there. And it's easy because, hey, you're setting that in place. So every month, you know, this much money's going in. And if you don't have that money coming to your account, you typically don't miss it.
Right.
And then the big benefit, of course, is tax deferral. It's so underappreciated. The ability to use the money you would have paid in taxes and earn interest on that for your entire life is huge. It's a huge benefit for investors.
It's incredible. And then, another thing that's kind of new, I guess probably once a week, maybe even twice a week, I have a realtor or two that call me yeah. and say, oh, it's time for you to buy a house. You know, housing prices are increasing forever and ever. And I mean, maybe they go up a little bit and down and fluctuate in value. But the reality is that let's hit on how much I put down on a house and some of the hidden cost of a house.
So sure. So you want to make sure that you always have 20% down when you buy a house. You know, if like we talked about in Investment Insight previously, if you find a new girlfriend and you move out of state, the ability to have 20% down means that you can sell that house.
Right.
If the real estate market moves, as we're shooting this video, the real estate market has declined. So if you didn't put any money down, you really can't sell that house. It gives you the ability to sell that house and move on to the next place. It also avoids PMI insurance.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you start factoring in, you know, you've got your taxes, you got your insurance, you got your interest cost. Everybody knows that. But you also have the unknown cost, which is things break. When I bought this building, all three air conditioning units had to be replaced because they were all bad.
And I think an AC unit has like $8,000 a piece.
Yeah, they're expensive.
They're not cheap.
So you need to have extra money beyond the 20% to cover it. And so most people don't do that. And so they end up getting in trouble and they got to do some loans that one part of that budget, one part of that plan to get that house. So have that extra money as part of that plan.
Right. And then also in addition to that plan that we're talking about here, what about a life insurance policy for if my family really depends on it, more so your case than mine currently?
So typically, like, you know, I've got 7 kids, so I need enough money in insurance if I was to die to provide for those kids until they can basically be at the point of maturity where they can work. Everybody's different on that. But if you do a simple rule of 5% withdrawal rate, so whatever that insurance is, you can pull about 5% a year. You need at least 15 to 17 times whatever money you need in insurance to cover it. So if I want my kid, if I need 100 grand a year, I'm gonna need about 2 million bucks at 5%. But if I assume some of that's gonna be depleted as my kids get older, that Susie would not need as much money as they get older, because they're already be covered. So 15 to 17 times is typically what you need. Because there's going to be some Social Security benefits that do come in because I've paid in Social Security, so you do get that per child. So usually 15 to 17 times whatever the income is, what you need. And term insurance is cheap. Look at term insurance as insurance, not as an investment.
Right. Those are two separate things.
In our experience, they're two separate things, and obviously they're cheaper. So most insurance people want to sell the more expensive product. But term is the better product. It also, if you can lose a little weight and get in better health before you apply, that can help your chances too, save you some money.
That's true. Going on that, like, you know, losing weight, like if I go to the gym with a lot of people that go to the gym together, or if I am a saver with a lot of people who are saving together, what's the importance of surrounding yourself with those people who have those really good money habits?
Probably the most important thing you do, because people, birds of a feather flock together. You know, if you're around a lot of drunks, you're going to be a drunk probably. You know, if you're around people that save money, you're going to value saving money.
Yeah.
And so it tends to be the people you surround yourself with. You know, if you find somebody, I really want to be like this person, well, be around that person. Yeah. You know, because that's what you want to do. And save the same way, you know, if people are always spending everything they have, they're probably not going to have much. And so that's where you want to find good people with good habits.
Right. And then so, you know, what about borrowing money? Like, I think that's something a lot of younger people get trapped into, is the fact of
If you're going to borrow money, borrow money for an asset that's appreciating. Buying a house is okay. Buying a car, borrowing money for a car, tends to not be okay. Because you're basically paying compound interest to somebody else. So the whole thing with borrowing money is you want to limit how much you borrow. But if you do have to borrow, borrow for something that's appreciating.
Right, right, absolutely. And then speaking of borrowing and credit, kind of just...
Yeah.
What about, I think some people my age kind of get allured into these credit card...
Oh, everybody gets on these credit cards. I mean, it's easy to spend the money. So obviously you want to keep a good credit score. You want to pay your bills on time. You want to have good credit. You know, they actually pull your credit for homeowners insurance. They look at your insurance score, which part of that's your credit rating. But you want to make sure you pay everything on time. You keep the amount of money you borrowed low versus your income. And you want to keep everything, you know, generally speaking, you don't want your mortgage to be more than 20 or 30% of your pay. And so if you're borrowing 45% of your pay to do a mortgage, you're going to be in trouble when that roof breaks. You're going to have a hard time. You're going to have to get another job, or you're going to have to get in some more credit card debt. And so there is a debt trap. So the thing is you want to avoid debt as much as you can.
Right.
Hopefully all together. Obviously the best case world would be, I paid for my house in cash. I bought my cars in cash, but usually you got to start borrowing a little bit of money. So try to limit how much you borrow. And never borrow for spending on a credit card. Always, if you're going to borrow money for stuff that'll appreciate.
Right. And I think that was one thing we talked about was, okay, even when I pay off my credit card, my net position or balance sheet, my net worth doesn't increase because of it. Right. And I think that's something that is so, even when I pay off let's say I had a $5,000 debt, zero it. I don't have more assets. I just paid off a liability.
Yeah. You want to be increasing your net worth, not decreasing it.
Absolutely. Identity theft protection. What about LifeLock or something like this? Is that something to consider at this?
In 2024, because of all the risk factors with identity theft and with online access, I think it's important to get some insurance for that protection. You can also freeze your credit. There's multiple options there. But I would definitely look into some kind of credit protection. Because, you know, look, if somebody gets $100,000 in bills in your names, I do not want to be going to court fighting over it. I want somebody else taking care of that for me.
Right, right. So, and you know, the last kind of topic we hit on is, what's the importance of, as you're younger, as you move through life, continually educating yourself?
Correct. The most important thing that you can do is learn. We're just we're scraping the surface. This video is a short podcast. And what we're trying to do is help educate people. And what you want to do is you want to be constantly learning about investments, about budgets, about retirement, about how you buy a car. All these different things. You know, I see a lot of master classes about things all the time. Those are good options. Always be learning.
Yeah.
You know, closing out, I guess, as Benjamin, investment and knowledge pays the best interest. Ben Franklin's quote, great quote.
That's awesome. And it's always a great compliment to give us is when you say, oh yeah, we watched your video on XYZ and I have another question about it. That tells us that, like, you paid attention to it.
That's right.
It's
good.
Like, and you had questions and you're part of that learning culture, which is so pivotal, so cool. Thank you so much for tuning in to Investment Insight today.